So today let's try to at least get close to finishing up Ksamim, and then Be'ez Hashem will move on, hopefully tomorrow, if not tomorrow, then Wednesday, to Kuf Tzadi Aleph, where we'll discuss Dam in Meraglayim, and in the toilet bowl in general. That's even though it came up a little bit in Ksamim, there's a whole simon dedicated to that. Be'ez Hashem, that will be next. But there's still some more to do on Ksamim. So I mentioned to you last time that through the these last couple of shiurim, I'm going completely with Rabbi Forst's structure of how he discusses the inyan of Tlios. It's kedai to take a read through. Most of what I'm saying is really his mar makomos. A couple of things added here and there, but it's mostly his mar makomos. I think the last thing we did, we were going through the in discussing Tlios, we mentioned that we're first going to go through Rabbi Forst's nine rules of Tlios. I think we got through the first three of those nine rules. That number one, the colors have to be similar. Number two, the sizes have to match up. And number three, with the Taz quotes from the Tshuva Sarama, that if it was a single stain together with what came from her body, we can't be told that the red part is from somewhere else, and that the part that's not problematic is from her body, but the red part is from somewhere else. So now we're going to Be'ez Hashem go through rules four through nine. Then we'll go through some of the more common tlios that exist, and then we'll discuss what is really a siman kuf tzadi vav discussion. Maybe we'll have a chance to chazer when we get to kuf tzadi vav. But the discussion of being told that the gimel yabim arishonim, that the first 3 days of shiva nikiyim, that you're not allowed to have a tliya, so it comes up here, but its primary discussion is really in Kuf Tzadi Vav. So we'll see if we do it again in Kuf Tzadi Vav. Probably will depend on where we're holding as far as timing and scheduling out the year and how we're going to cover everything in Nida and Avelus. But we'll get into it now as well. So let's start with the fourth rule of Ksamim that Rabbi Forst suggests. Based on Gemara Daf Nun Ches and Beis, the Gemara says, Safek im avra b'shuk shel tabachim om yashva b'tzad hamis askim b'ksamim eina tola behem. If she has a safek, whether she was in an environment where she has a tliya based on the environment that she was in, then she cannot rely on that tliya. Meaning, what's a tliya? A woman was avra b'shuk shel tabachim. She knows she was in an environment where ksamim could have happened, where there's a tliya that could have happened. She just doesn't know if it did happen or not. But if she doesn't even know that she entered such an environment, then she's not allowed to be tola. That is the din of the Gemara. The Badei HaShulchan and the Biurim in Siv Chaf Beis, where this Gemara is, Koron Shulchan Aruch, points out that, the Gemara gives the example of Safek Imav B'Shuk Shal Tabachim, or Safek, whether she was Yoshev, whether Yashra B'Tzadam is asking B'Ksamim, but there are lots of other Tlios that exist, meaning if a woman was Shachta Tarnagolas, if she shechted a chicken, right, that would also be a Tlia. If she later finds blood on her, she can assume that maybe it came from the chicken. What if she's misupuk if she was shachta tarnagolas? Some stomachs, the same din. Badei HaShulchan points out, the reason the Gemara gives these examples is because they're obviously much more shchiach, meaning it's not likely that she's going to be masupak whether she shechted a chicken today. That's the kind of thing a person remembers. But masupak, exactly where she walked, did she walk in the vicinity of the Shuk Shel Tabachim? Which way did Waze take her when she was going through town? Did it take her through near the street that goes past the meat market? Did it take it through, take her through somewhere? That she may not remember. Where, what kind of environment she was surrounded by, but as far as what she did, that of course she's going to remember. So that's what the Badei HaShulchan just points out, that it's much more likely for her to forget where she went than it is for her to forget what she has done. Then the Rashba adds that if there are tabachim all around town, if she just happens to live in the meat district, right, there's such a thing, right? She happens to live in the meat district where there are tabachim all over the place, then you don't need to know that she certainly passed that one of them, because Mistama, she certainly passed one of them. The Taz says it a little differently. The Taz says it a little more pointedly. He says that the entire town is then a shuk shel tabachim. Meaning the point is that if there are shukim shel tabachim all over town, then the entire town becomes a shuk shel tabachim. We view the whole thing as a shuk shel tabachim. We assume that wherever you go, you're going to run into a shuk shel tabachim. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Chaf Beis quotes this Gemara with the addition of the Rashba. Right? You have the Shulchan Aruch, down here. Shulchan Aruch and Sivcha Beis. Yeah, says Shulchan Aruch Safi Gemara B'Shuk Shal Tabachim Am Yashab Tzadim Misaskim B'Ksanim Ein Atol Behem Ba Medvar Mamurim Be'ir Shal Tabachim Am Misaskim B'Ksanim Yashab Makom Yadua. That's if they sit in their little corner. Avlim Darkum Nisase Kan V'Kan Tol Mavilim Misafik Shem Nisaskim B'Makom Sha'avra V'Lo Hirgisha. But if they sit all over the place, then you're Tolan as a Tashim Kat Tazayin. The Oz have a Kula Maso Kishuk Shal Tabachim. The entire town becomes a Shuk Shal Tabachim. Good, exactly like we said. So that's what Shulchan Aruch quotes, exactly that din of the Gemara together with the Rashi. And the Or Zeruah in Shinun Aleph explains that this is based on Svek Sveka Lechumra. That meaning this idea that she cannot be tola when she doesn't know the din of the Gemara. He's explaining the din of the Gemara that she cannot be tola if she doesn't know for sure that she was up from a shuk shal tabachim is based on a simple svek sveka. And this, the Badei only quotes this explanation of the Arzuruah, that this is the only explanation, that first of all maybe she didn't go near the blood in the first place, and even if she did go near the blood, maybe that stain didn't come from that blood, meaning you still don't know even if she was a shuk shal tabachim that the blood that she found actually came from there. So the Beis Shlomo in Yoredeia, Chelek Beis in Yodala, the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo explains that it's a little different. He says, no, it's based on Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai, that the uterus definitely has blood. The other source is not definite. And therefore, if you have a Vadai source and a Safik source, so she knows she was in proximity to her uterus, because she always is, and she doesn't know if she was in proximity to a Shuk Shal Tabachim. They both have blood around them, but only one, she was Vaday near, so then Ain't Safik Motzi Midei Vaday. What's the Nafkamina, whether it's based on Svek Sveka, or whether it's based on Ain't Safik Motzi Midei Vaday? So if you understand it's based on Svek Sveka, it is a little bit more difficult to understand why we wouldn't have to compare the colors to each other. And make, meaning, if we're just trying to figure out the sphakos, maybe the colors don't match. And even if they do, maybe the dam came from her and not from the external source. If the basis is Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai, you can argue that without comparing the colors, you have two Vadai sources of dam. That if she doesn't compare the colors and there is a Shuk Shal Tabachim around, so maybe that would be considered a Vadai source of Dam. That's what Rabbi Four suggests. L'chora, it's not so clear why that would be the case. That L'chora, whether you're relying on Svek Sveka, or whether you're relying on Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai, generally, if it's Efshel Levura, you're supposed to be a Mevarer Safek. So regardless of whether it's Svek Sveka, we don't rely on Svek Sveka L'chadchila if it doesn't have to be a Safek. And Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai L'chora also, if it doesn't have to be a Safek. But that's those are the two possible explanations. As I mentioned, Badei Shulchan only quotes the Arzuruah's explanation. It's the only one we find in Rishonim, meaning that's that it's based on Svek Sveka. Okay. The fifth rule relates to the fourth rule, meaning it's an outgrowth of the fourth rule. It's in that Tshuvas Beis Shlomo. The Tshuvas Beis Shlomo says that the Taliyah, it's not enough that you have to know that you were in the vicinity of the Taliyah, but you have to know that the Taliyah was there already at the time that the Kesem could have come from it. Meaning, if a Shuk Shal Tabachim opened up in your city after you found the Kesem, so it's not going to help, right? If the Shuk Shal Tabachim was not definitely there at the time that the Kesem made its way onto your Beged, so then that's going to be like a suffix whether you're ever a Shuk Shal Tabachim, because you don't know. So obviously the case is not a Shuk Shal Tabachim, but let's say a woman discovers she has a yeast infection after finding the stain. So you have to be concerned that maybe she didn't have a yeast infection at the time that the stain actually showed up. The Beis Shlomo gives an example. A woman found a kesem, and then she remembers that she sat on a park bench earlier today. So she went back to that park bench, and she found tzoas tarnagolim all over the park bench. She doesn't remember seeing the tzoas tarnagolim when she was there the first time. The tzoas tarnagolim is red. She doesn't remember seeing the tzoas tarnagolim the first time. Now she sees it, but she doesn't know. Maybe the tarnagolim came after she got up from the bench. She doesn't know that there was tzoas tarnagolim there at the time that the kesem, at the time that she that she found the kesem. And any time the tliya is only going to show up after the metzias hakesem, that's the same as safek im avra b'shuk shel tabachin. Tzoas tarnagolim, as it turns out, is red. I guess tzoa of other birds, I just discovered by parking my car under a tree, is also red. I have a lot of red on top of my car. Hopefully the storm will help with that. I'm not going to chas v'sholom get a car wash on Erev Pesach, my guy. But the tzoas tarnagolim is assumed to be red, and that's the ha'ara of the Beis Shlomo. In the Tshuvas Marsham, Chelek Gimel Simshim Samachtes, he says that if a woman, let's say, has a chronic hemorrhoid condition, she has something that keeps on coming back, and it hasn't bled in a while, and when she found the stain, she didn't know if she was actually experiencing a flare-up of her hemorrhoids, but now she discovers that she's experiencing a flare-up. He says, that's already a pre-existing condition. That's not the same as the Beis Shlomo. Meaning that's not the case where the tliya only came up later. Because a chronic condition is something that's been there for her whole life. It's just that sometimes it's active and sometimes it's inactive. So that is rule number 5. It's not really a fifth rule. It's really just an extension of the fourth rule. It's just saying that not only if it's a suffix, whether she was avra b'shuk shel tabachim, but even if there's if she only discovered the tliya after she discovered the kesem, that's the same as a suffix im avra b'shuk shel tabachim. Then rule number 6 is what we already discussed, the Mil Tzedakah quoted in Rabbi Kiva Eger that we saw, that if there are two different things to be tola in, you're not allowed to combine their size to be tola if the stain looks like one big stain. And if it looks like one stain, but there were two different events that happened, each of which could explain half of the stain, you wouldn't say that each one explains half of the stain if it looks like one big giant stain. And then rule number 7 is probably the most important rule of tliyos, and that is that the tliya has to be reasonable. The tliya has to make sense. There's always some explanation of where something could have come from. What's the expression in American law? Reasonable doubt? But it has to be reasonable doubt. It can't just be doubt. There's always doubt. But it has to be reasonable doubt. So if it's on the inner surface of the underwear, you can't be tola in shuk shel tabachim if nothing was on the outer surface. Right, Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Ches. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Kivan shuksam drabanan makilan behem. The Talmud called them sheichol litlos. Some are drabanan, so we have such a din called tliya. Keitzad shach b'nei mechayo from the saskel shuksam liyashu b'tzad the saskel mehem moshava v'shuk shol tabachim minutz adam b'gadeha Talmud b'otara. Now here it is. Afilu lovesha shlosha chalukim ze al ze. Even if a woman is wearing 3 layers of clothing, she's wearing a coat, and then she's wearing a sweater over the coat, and underneath that she has a kikiriki. Yeah, right? Okay, non-married guys looking at me like I'm from outer space. Okay, good. So she's wearing some sort of shell or something, right? Vinimsa apilu b'tachton, and she finds the stain even on the tachton, on the bottom of the 3 layers, tahora. She's still tahora. But if she finds something on her skin, she can't be tola unless she has a maka on her guf. Then, if the blood could drip from there, then you can be tola. Look, if she finds it on her basar and she has a maka that's not actively bleeding, but if you rub against it a little bit, it will start to bleed. That's reasonable. It's reasonable to assume it came from there. Even though right now it's scabbed over and it's not actually dripping. But what Yisrael Shulchan is saying, that if you find it on a lower layer of clothing, you could still assume shuk shel tabachim, but not if you find it on the basar. Why? Because a lower layer of clothing, sometimes people lift up upper layers of clothing when they know that they have another layer of clothing that's there. But if it's nimtzal basara, so then you have to assume, then it's unreasonable to assume it came from the outside. So Rabbi Force quotes 2 shitos in Rishonim as to why, when it's nimtzal basara, it's unreasonable to assume it came from the outside. Tosus in Nida Nun Zainan Beis says it's not reasonable that the kesem would have bypassed her clothing. So Tosus says, yeah, but it's also not reasonable then that it would have bypassed 2 layers and gotten to the 3rd layer. Right? Why, when it's on the lowest layer, are we going to assume that it could have come from the outside, but let's say she was only wearing one layer of clothing or two layers of clothing. Then if it's on her basar, it bypassed the same number of layers. Right? Why should it make a difference where you found it? Maybe the number, there should be X number of layers that it would have to get through that you would have to. So the Tosfos explains that she still might lift up extra layers of clothing, but no woman would ever lift up her only layer of clothing because she knows that she has no other protective layers. So she's not going to want to expose her skin. So she finds it on the basar, so then you can know that it did not come from the outside. But if she finds it on her lowest layer of clothing, it could be that she lifted up her other layers of clothing momentarily. That's the Shitas HaTosos. The Rashba is quoted in the Beis Yosef that we assume the blood was from the body because you find it on the body. Meaning, sounds like it's similar to the idea of Karov, right? That you have such a Sugya and Shas in Second Paragraph of Basra, right? You have a din in the Torah called Karov. Just like you have a din in the Torah of Acher Rab Nahatos, you have a din in the Torah called Rov, you have a din in the Torah called Karov. Where's the din in the Torah called Karov? Egla Rufa, right? You're trying to figure out where this dead body came from, so you measure the closest city, so Yira Krova is the one that is that's the one whose basin is responsible, and therefore has to go through the whole process of the Egla Rufa. So Sugi Mabasra, what about Rov Vikarov? What if you have a conflict between these two criteria of determining how things happened? You have a Rov on the one hand versus a Karov. And the Gemara doesn't come to the clear answer that, oh, Rove is this rule that we always use and therefore is a much bigger rule than Karov. No, the Gemara makes all sorts of strange akimtas in every example that we follow Rove to show that there must not have been a Karov. Right, that the Gemara makes the assumption that they're similar types they have similar types of strength to these two concepts. So it sounds like the Rashba is saying if it's on the basar, so there's something fundamentally different about basar, not mitame atznius, but just because there's like a din karov associated with the basar. Not his words, karov is not his words, but that's what it sounds like he's saying. What about Tosis Kasha? So he says, we just assume that that which is found on the body came from the body. Nafkamina is, what if she found it on part of her body that wasn't clothed at all? Right. I mean, let's say she found it on part of her body that didn't require any clothing for whatever reason. She wasn't wearing any clothing on that part of her body, on a fingertip or something like that. Right. So if you say like the Rashba, what do you have to assume? Karov. Anything else on the body comes from the body. But if you assume like Tosfos, what was the whole Svara? Well, as far as that, it's not mistaver, that blood is going to bypass clothing to get to the body, and that's why you have to assume that it must have come from the body. But it's very mistaver that if her body wasn't covered at the time, then it will bypass. Right? Then it will bypass.
Isn't the most inner layer of clothing also carved up to the body, more than the structural thing?
Yeah, so he doesn't use the term karov as far as actual proximity, but it's like part of. It's better than a karov almost, meaning it is the body.
Well, then shouldn't karov also apply? And then if it's more karov to the body, then the shik shalt about him, even if it's on the clothing?
No, meaning the way he's saying is like the body is the body, and then everything that's external is external. So the clothing is external to the body, so then once it's coming from somewhere else, so it's not about. Meaning it's not an exact din of karov. Meaning I'm saying I'm giving it as a mushel, the din of karov as a mushel over here, because it's not. We're obviously not measuring. If we were measuring, then ain't a chenami. Your clothing is closer to her body than anything else is going to be. But the Rashba just says that if you find it on the body, it's most mustaver that it came from the body, that it's all one unit. That is rule number 7 of Tlios. Rule number 8. If the place where the dam landed could not have come directly from the makom hatliya, then she can't be tola. Relates to rule number 7 a little bit. Meaning, for example, the blood could have only gotten from her wound to her beged by her touching it with her hand and wiping it on the beged. Meaning, it could not have gotten directly from the wound to where on the beged she found it. She has a wound on her leg, on the side of her leg, and she found the stain on her shoulder. So the only way it could have gotten there is if she scratched her leg and caused it to bleed, and then somehow scratched her back or something, or her shoulder. So then you can't be tola when it requires that extra step. Yeah, unless we know that the wound from the blood had actually been on her hand, then you can. If she's not absolutely certain that the blood on her hand is from the wound, she can't be told that the blood on the beged is from the wound via the hand. Rabbi Kiveger explains this. If you look at Rabbi Kiveger on the Taz in Sifkat Yudalid, he writes, "Dekivon denis aska b'ksamim, v'nimtza gamal yadeha, sheyadua shaylichul chazeh, hu meha esek bazeh." She was nisasek b'ksamim, and she had blood on her hand, and she knows that the blood came from the esek with ksamim. So Masha nimtza gamal gufa tolim b'yadeh, shanagasham yadayim askan yosein. So yadayim are always touching things. So then she knows that the blood that she finds on her body was because her hands were full of the blood from the ksamim. That's not called mimakom lemakom because she knew that her hands were dirty with blood. One second, Ken Yishlomer, he says, "Vaiter, to ba'avra v'nimtza al yadeha tolin, el debazeh im nimtza dam gam al gufa ein tolin." That if she was avra and she doesn't know for sure that the blood got in her hand from the wound or the shuk or whatever, you could be told of the blood on the hand, but not the blood on the guf via the hand. Meaning, you can't be told of that blood in the external source what you find on the guf. So that's what Rabbi Kiveger quotes from the, he says himself, I guess. But then Rabbi Kiveger questions, and he thinks that maybe you can do a double taliyah. He says, "Comes that tzarichin and k'tzas. To me, kol makom neima, demasha al gufa, hu mei alich luk shal faneinu al yadayin." Meaning, if she knows her hands are dirty, it's a very natural assumption that it got to her body. V'kivan d'danin da'alich luk al hu mei alma. And since you're assuming that whatever came on her hand came from Me'alma, kivin d'avra, me'mela hach dam shal gufa tohar, t'dino k'din hadam shal yodeha. So this eighth rule is not an ironclad rule, it's subject to machlokas, Rabbi Kiveger, within that Rabbi Kiveger. Was the first part he's quoting from someone? What was that? The Rabbi Kiveger on the Taz in Sifkata Yodali? Is he quoting from someone? No, just Mizah Mashma. Yeah, he's just disagreeing with the Taz. Okay, the Mashmos of the Taz. So again, essentially what the Machlokas is, that if she knows that for sure she got it on her hand from a wound, so then it's just one more step. So one more step you could always be told that. But if she doesn't know for sure how it got it on her hand, she's just making a Taliyah of how it got it on her hand, to make a taliyah, al-gabe taliyah, that's also how it got on her shoulder, that far you can't go. Then Rabbi Kiveger says, I don't know why not, maybe you can go that far, if you're willing to be told that it got it on her hand from Me'alma, so maybe you got it on her shoulder, Me'alma.
The other direction we do say, that if she has a knock on her shoulder, and she finds on her leg, since gravity, that is technically possible.
It would have to be possible, right, that it can go from one to the other.
It specifically gives the opposite direction.
Yeah, we do have other examples where it's al-tzavara, this part of the neck, that part of the neck, but it would have to be, we try to work it out always that it's possible. Then the final rule that Rabbi Forst has is that he quotes a meinida, that a woman can't purposely take up painting when she's expecting staining problems in order to create a taliyah. So, I'm going to take a painting class now. I'm only going to deal in reds. She can't do that when she's expecting a taliyah. That's a chiddush. Why is that a chiddush? What are the other kulas of ksavim? Big day tzavonim is a kula of ksavim. A woman's allowed to wear colored clothing, so she's allowed to create the hetter. What else? What other kula of ksavim? In Mekabel Tumah, she could wear. I think they were marketing at some point. Some firm company was marketing underwear. It's not Mekabel Tumah. I don't really understand the value of it. She just wear colored clothing. And if it's during Shavuot Nikiyim, she probably wouldn't be wearing clothing that's not Mekabel Tumah. But there was some shtick. Everyone's brought to you by the makers of kosher land. What else? Well, they have a man, pachs, right? That's the other major kulam. Can a woman see to it that she'll never have a stain that's more than a gris? How would a woman do that? Change her underwear every 10 minutes or every hour. She knows that it becomes more than a gris because it builds up. Obviously, she can't do that to avoid a ri'iyah. If it's a ri'iyah mamish, if it's a flow, then it doesn't matter how often you change your underwear. That's the daraisa. But as far as ksavim are concerned, l'chora, she's allowed to do that. So Rabbi Forrest is masbir it by saying that a big day tzvonim is completely excluded from dinei ksavim, whereas tliya is based on a safek, meaning it's something that chazal regards are based on a safek, and you can't create a suffix, meaning in general, we don't like to rely on suffix, so we don't generate a suffix so that we can then rely on it, which is very interesting because he's assuming that Big Day Tzavonim is not based on the suffix, which Pashtos, Big Day Tzavonim, is also based on the suffix, the suffix of the color of the dam. He's further assuming that Pachos Mikugris is not based on the suffix, which the origins of Pachos Mikugris is Dama Acholas. So, okay, so that goes back to our whole Chakira about Pachos Mikugris. Is it that that was the Iker Takano, or that is it really a Taliyah? So that's the assumption that he's making. But that's the assumption, that to create a Taliyah would be problematic. Okay, so those are his nine rules of Taliyos of Ksan. Now, any questions before we go weiter? Okay, a couple of some common tliyos. A makkah, right? So what kind of makkah can you be told in? So in Sifir Aleph, from Shulchan Aruch over here, it's a long sif. The Shulchan Aruch writes, at the end of Sifir Aleph, Bamed var mamurim shekeshenim ta kesem al besara bilvad ein atola kishe ein la littles ela be'isek haksamim o b'shuk shel tabachim. That if she finds a kesem on her body, she can't be tola b'shuk shel tabachim or be'isek haksamim. Avalim yesh mako begufa. Here it is, sheyichol littles ba she'efshar sheyavo hadam imena, that it's possible the blood could come from it, tola ba'utahora. V'mamaka b'kseifa v'akesem al yurecha v'makom she'ef shalavo me'amaka t'meya. But if the maka is on her shoulder and she finds the kesem on her thigh and it's not shayach that it would have gotten from one to the other, then she cannot be tola. So the maka of it, if it seems that it's got to be a maka of a type that can be motzi dam, and it has to be possible for the dam have gotten there from the maka itself. Badi Ashulchan Sivkat Resh Tes writes, V'isha sheyotze dam michotma lefa'amim. Im eino yotze ela al yedei haka'amu etes, yicholu litlos bo. Ditalinan shehuka chotma ma'at b'lo yidiyasa v'yotze menadam. Well, he says, if a woman is prone to nosebleeds, and it doesn't take much for her to get a nosebleed, a slight nick, and all of a sudden her nose starts bleeding. So it's the kind of event that wouldn't have to, she doesn't have to, you know, get in the ring with Mike Tyson in order to get a nosebleed. So it could be something that happens matter-of-factly during the day, that she gets a nosebleed and she wouldn't have known about it. That's good enough. And what happens when you have a nosebleed? Blood ends up everywhere. If you ever have a kid that has prone to nosebleeds, blood goes everywhere. So then you could be told in that. The Orach HaShulchan right, upashra davar, shebekol ma shebiyicholus lahalos al hadas litlos titolim. Anything that makes sense, you could be told. Could go. Shegarfat soas tarnagolin. She was sweeping out soas tarnagolin. O shesho efes tabak binechireha, or she was sniffing tobacco. Vidarka laws of michotma. A lot of times, when one takes snuff, not recommended. Tobacco products. Not an attractive quality in a woman, I would think also. And she's got this red tobacco juice like dripping out of her nose. V'yesh b'zeh kamara dam, and it looks like dam. V'chenisha sheyesh l'choli atchorm shekorin grinda adar, which I assume is hemorrhoids. Im l'frakim zav mimena tipe dam mipi ha-taba'as Talibasas. Sometimes she has blood come out of her body, so you're talibas. The chenim loveshes begadim adumim el yonim. Opus makos adumim. He gives all these examples. She wears red upper clothing, you know, her clothing, her outermost layer of clothing is red. And sometimes when she sweats, it runs. The color runs a little bit. It used to be that the clothing industry was not as good at dyeing clothing, that it would fade much more easily. So sometimes, like, you put something in the wash or whatever, and, like, everything turns, you know, if you did it wrong or something, everything turns pink from whatever, right? So you have the clothing that faded, so, or it's possible it faded. Yeah, and he goes on to say, "Your nose bleeds." Because he calls it also kasim. Kol shkein kishem gadelas yelat katan, v'hu meluch lach betzora v'chein kol koyotze bazeh yesh lachkor v'lidrosh v'tolin behen hakasim v'tein lachacham yachamod. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying there could be any number of things, especially if you have little kids around the house. Some come from anywhere. They could be playing with crayons and paints and markers, and they have bleeding, and they have tsoa, and they have... The guy just apologized to me last night that he missed my shiur. He's toilet training his kid. I said, "How's it going?" He's like, "It's going everywhere." so that sometimes is the experience that one happens, that one has when you have little children around. So that's the most common type of tliya, is that some sort of mako or something like that. Another type of tliya in Sif Yutes, the Shulchan Aruch talks about. K'shem shetol ba kach tol b'bno u'b'bayla im nisasku b'ksav lo nyesh b'mako v'fisha darkam ligaba. There are people that touch her all the time. So she walks home and all of a sudden all these little kinderlach come and give mommy a hug, right? So they're always touching her. So if they're always touching her, they're always getting her dirty. You can often tell, a parent or a father of a young child who wears white shirts, like Yeshiva Shavada, it's like right over there, you know, it's like it's full of gross stuff because, you know, the kid has got sticky hands and you hold the kid over there, so right over there, it's full of, so this is what happens when people are always touching you, so it's very likely that it's going to get all over your body. Obviously, if you don't see any sign of it on the child or on the husband, and you only see it on the woman, so then you're not going to be told, unless it's the kind of thing that squirts. Like the kid has a ketchup bottle like this, right? You know, the squeezy bottle, and the woman sees red all over her, and the kid looks totally fine, but it's squirting. So it says Rabba, "V'hu adinim shachva b'mita im nashim sheish la makos begufan toluban kimo b'bna u'b'payla." That's the same thing if she lies down on a bed with other women who have makos begufan. So that's I would imagine less common. Someone was just complaining to me over Shabbos that their daughter went on a high school Shabbaton and they make the girls share beds in the hotel room. So in the year 2019, we should never have kids sharing beds with each other. Probably right. Probably not a wise thing to do. But so that hopefully doesn't come up so much, that kind of situation. So we talk about in Sif Yutes, we talk, is that a thing? What does NCSY do? Do they let kids share beds?
Depends on the region.
Seems to remember.
More advisors in the room, though.
Right, okay. I think we once asked Rabbi Willing many, many years ago. And he said, "Don't talk about it. Don't make us think about it. If you make us think about it, then it's going to get some people's heads." But I think now he'd probably just say, "Don't do it," I would imagine. Anyway, so the Shulchan, that's not really no get to this. It just came to mind. So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yutes says, again, people touch her all the time, a husband or a child. And there are a lot of si'ifim that just discuss attributing to another woman if she's lying in the bed, and there are three women, and you know, there are sugyas in the Gemara like this, but very, very not common. A third common case is if she wears a beged that she wore while she was in Nida and hadn't washed it in between. So Shulchan Aruch and Sif Mem Dalet says, Tola Shem Yimei Nidosahu. You could be told that it came from her Yimei Nidos. Yeah. What if she didn't wear it while she was bleeding? She wore the beged during Shiva Nikim. and how she, right, not every time a person puts on a beged, especially if it's not an inner beged, right, if it's not like an undergarment or like the first layer, so not every time a person puts on a beged will they wash it, they'll put it away and they'll put it back on a different time. So she finds a stain on such a beged. So if she wore it during Yemei Nidus, we assume, okay, so maybe it came from the Yemei Nidus, you don't even have to think about it. It could have come from her body, but it could have come during Yemei Nidus. And that happens all the time, lav dafka with blood, but it's not so crazy to assume that it would happen with blood. Meaning, sometimes you'll put on a suit that, or at least I would, I don't send my suit to the cleaners every single time I wear the same suit, so I'll hang up the suit and then I'll take it out of the closet next time and I'll be ready to go to yeshiva. And if it's one of those mornings where my wife like looks at me before I leave, she's like, you cannot leave the house like that. Why, what happened? Well, look at the whole side of you. I just totally missed it, and I didn't do anything yet this morning. How did that happen? Well, it happened somehow last time and I just wasn't paying attention. I was at a chasna and they had these fancy candles at the day and the wax dripped all over the whole side, you know, so you don't always realize, you don't always pay attention. So it's not so difficult to understand that she could be told to be many does.
The other question was, what if she doesn't keep a calendar of what she wore every exact day?
Right. How does she know? So that's a suffix. That's a suffix that she wore to be many does. Okay, so first let's get to the Shulchan, then we'll go from there. So it says about the Ashulchan and the Biurim, Dibra Maskal Lavsha. He says, "V'nikra she'im lavsha cholik zeh mikvar b'yimei sfira sayinikim v'lavshasu gam ata b'yimei tarasa tola hakesem b'yimei sfirasa shemikodem she'i ikr din zeh nilman b'din tliya b'chavir ta'ashonu le'el k'mosh kosva gra." He says, what about being told in having worn it during Shivanikim? He says, yeah, you could probably do that because this whole din is based on the sugyos of being told b'chavir ta. So what's the halach when you're being tola b'chavirta? Let's say her friend is not being roe dam nida now. Her friend is in shivinikim. So can she be tola b'chavirta who's in shivinikim? So the halach in siv mem beis, yes, she can. So mele, she could be tola in herself in shivinikim. Shavzat kugunshat... But then Badei Shulchan adds a twist. He says, but let's say the last time she wore it was in the Shivanikim she just experienced. She went to the mikvah last night. So the last week was during Shivanikim. And now she's Tahora, right? And she puts on the dress that she wore 3 days ago. So she's going to be told in her own Shivanikim. Well, that's no good. Why is that no good? It's a tired disaster because then Mimela she's Tameya if she's told in her own Shivanikim. If you're going to be told that, then she's not Torah right now. Since either way, it's going to ruin her Torah right now. The whole word is that you're told not kalkala b'mukul kelas. So you might as well say that the bad thing happened from the one who you know is bad anyway. You know is stuck anyway. Oshema, maybe no. Af bazet tolun lomar shetum asa harishon inim sheches. Ve'ein metamim isha tahora betuma chadasha. Hahofechas dina mitara letuma. The Torah yin b'ze. Then he says, "V'gam yeshla ayin b'ze mitamach." There's another thing to think about over here. V'hu if yimashkas b'sivkat shusam mechbei b'shem esidri tahora. Gabe beiz nashim shem badka rishon es atzma matza tahora. That if you have two women and one of them did a bedika and found that she's tahora, then you're told that the dam came from the second woman. She obviously had to do a bedika after she wore the beged last time when she was a nida, right? Because otherwise she would have needed a hefsek tara. So yesh lomer d'ma midinos ha-becheskasa ve'in machzik ma-kesem kodem l'bedikasa ela rasa so achar kach tayne b'me tarasa. Wow, that's a very interesting svara that he's saying. What's he saying? That if she wore the beged while she was in Nida, right? And then she had to go through Hafsik Tara and Shaviniki, and now she's wearing the beged again while she's Tahora. So again, all these halachas are derived from the halachas of being Tala B'chaverit. So what's the halacha if the Chavera, after the Metzias HaKesem, did a bedika and was found to be Tahora? So you assume that it came from her, not from the Chavera, right? Because she did a bedika. So what if it's not a Chavera? It's me. The woman says it's me. But I did a bedika after that. It's me today or me a week ago? But I did a bedika after a week ago. And I was Tahora. Me a week ago did a bedika. So if me a week ago did a bedika, then it wasn't me a week ago. Therefore it is me today. Is that a perfect comparison? Is that a great comparison? I'm not sure about that comparison. I mean, Tola B'Chavirta is, I'm not even sure how to formulate it, right? Tola B'Chavirta is that if I don't know which woman it came from, and one of them now knows that she's clean, the other one doesn't, you know, didn't do B'dika and doesn't know that she's clean, so then you can't be Tola B'Chavirta. But if it's the same woman, you're going to assume that she's more Tamei now after I have Siktara than she was before?
Because then you did a Bidika straight, right? Similarly, then you did a Bidika. Now you haven't done
Bidika. Yeah, but think about what I have. What does I have Siktara do for a woman? It takes her from being Becheskas Mayana Pasuach to Becheskas Mayana Sasa. Meaning it changes this woman's Chazaka for the better. I mean, she did a bedika then, and it was clean. That means she is now mikanu lahaba. Think about hafsek tara in general. Hafsek tara in general is never to ascertain that she hasn't been bleeding. That's not what hafsek tara is about. Anytime a woman does hafsek tara, she knows she's been bleeding. Really, it's for the single guys. We never really discussed hafsek tara. Hafsek tara basically is a woman has her period. And at a certain point, when she's ready to start counting her 7 clean days, she does a bedika before she starts counting her 7 clean days to verify that she's clean. Now she's ready to go into the 7 clean days. It's not to verify that she has been clean. She knows she hasn't. She's just had her period for the last 5 days. It's to verify mikanu lahaba that she's clean, and it changes her chazaka to mayana sasum. It makes it that she's no longer becheskas bleeding. So you're going to say that a woman that does hafsek tara is going to be worse post hafsek tara than pre hafsek tara? It's one thing to be told in somebody else. That woman did a bedika, so she's tara. I didn't do a bedika, so I am probably the tamei one. But when it's within one woman and she did a hafsek tara, to say, oh, me pre hafsek tara is Tahara, because I did a Hefsek Tara. Post Hefsek Tara is Temeah? That's hard. That's very hard to say. Right, what do we do? By Hefsek Tara, we're going to learn it. By Hefsek Tara, the halacha is, the minig is, the Ramah writes, minig kosher, that prior to Hefsek Tara, a woman's supposed to wash out her body. Wash herself out. Why? Aren't you destroying all the evidence? Isn't the whole point of Hefsek Tara to find dam? No! The point of Hefsek Tara is to ascertain that at the moment of the Hefsek Tara, she's no longer seeing dam. She knows she's been seeing dam. But that was yesterday's dam. That was an hour ago's dam. That was 10 minutes ago's dam. Get rid of that. She just needs to ascertain mikanu lahaba. So I'm not sure about this comparison of the Badei Shulchan. Neither is he. He says, v'tzarachim b'kolze. I assume that's what he means. Meaning that the cases don't parallel perfectly from being tola in another woman to being tola in yourself. Questions? A few hands were raised before. No? The fourth and final common tliya. The Gemara in Daf Nun Tes says, Nun Tes Tanya, Hayu ala tipe damim lamata v'tipe damim lamala tola be'elyon ad kigris. The Rosh and Simon Zayin and Tosus explain that the upper stain had to come Alma, since it could not have landed there if it came from her. And if it's larger than a gris, so it can't come from a macholas. So you have to assume that she was exposed to something else that was red. Mimela, you can attribute the lower kesem to the same source. Meaning, she has a stain above the belt and a stain below the belt. If the stain above the belt is pachos mika gris, so what do you say? Tamachalas. You don't know that there is any external source other than the macholas. And mele, if the stain below the belt is more than a gris, you're stuck. She's tamei. But if the stain above the belt is yosemika gris va'od, the stain above the belt is the size of a quarter, right? L'kaliyam, a quarter. So now you can't be told about macholas. So there must have been something. I don't know what it was, but there must have been something from the outside. Once I know that there's something from the outside that's hit her, so then you can assume the stain below the belt is also from the outside. That's how Tosfos and the Rush understand that Gemara. Rashi understands the Gemara differently, but in Beis Yosef he goes with the understanding of Rush and Tosfos. And this is all quoted in Se'if Yud Zayin. Matzah kesem l'malam e'achag v'kesem l'maftim menu v'yoda'as shalom nizdakra. She knows she wasn't doing any cartwheels. Tahora, Shani Yomer Kamosha Elyon Bameyama Kachba Tachman Bamed Var Mamurim Kashiyesh Belyon Kigris Vaodo Yoser. That's if the Elyon was very large. Shavade Mealba Ba Sharein Losa Bekina Avolim Ainbo Kigris Vaod. But if the upper stain is a penny or smaller, ain't telling us some Mealba Shabdam Kinohu. Then it could have just been a bug. And therefore, if the lower stain is large, she's Tamea. Comes along Rabbi Kiva Eger. Vinirali, da'af toch shloshe yam l'sfirasa tol l'tachton be'elyon. Even though we don't do tlios, as we're about to learn, during the first 3 days, to be tol l'tachton be'elyon you can do in the first 3 days. Kiva da elyon vaday eno migufa yadinan deba me alma. Havi kiilu yadanu shenishpach dam al chaluk v'lo yadinan kamat pshita degam toch gimel yam talina. If a woman was in a haunted house and they squirt fake blood at you and she doesn't know how much fake blood got or real blood or whatever got squirted at her, so obviously you could be told. Even in the first 3 days. We're not going to say we're not told in the first 3 days or something like that. When do we say we're not told in the first 3 days? You're not told when it's a more questionable taliyah. But when you know for sure that you've encountered blood and that it's hit your body and you just don't know exactly where it's hit your body, says Rabbi Kivega, that even during the first 3 days. We're going to have to see what the svar is about the first 3 days and whether that's mistat, meaning whether this fits. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Vim kesem elyon adom v'atachton shachar o ipcha ayin lekaman sivchav gimel. Baragola points this out, which says that explicitly that you can't be tola. You can't be tola if the upper stain is red and the bottom one is black. Kiddush, that you don't assume that she was Zaska B'tar Nagolas, which has Kama Min Yedam, meaning you're not going to make an assumption about exactly where that upper stain came from. That's already very, you know, that's limiting yourself. To assume that the Dam, I know that the Dam had to come from outside, the Dam above the belt had to come from outside, that I know, it had to be. But to then make an assumption, oh, and it must have come from B'tar Nagolas, which has Kama Min Yedam, and therefore, that's already too much of an assumption. Says the Badei HaShulchan, Sif Yud Zayin in the Biurim, V'haynu shetolim shepamachas nislach lechaluka l'mayla u'lamata. You're assuming that it all happened at once. U'kamash k'safti b'fim b'shem harash, u'lechor l'fi zeh. Says the Badei HaShulchan, therefore comes out, im matza echem mehem yavesh ve'echem mehem adayin lach. What if one of the stains is dry and the other one is wet? So nu, what's the svara? If one is dry, one is wet? And obviously one of them is older than the other one. So it wasn't the same event that occurred. Now you know they didn't come at the same time. He says, but the problem is the Gemara says that even a kesem that's lach, you assume is metame lemafreya, because even if it dried out, water could have hit it and re-moistened it. And that's what the Rambam writes in Tumas Mishkav of Moshe, Parakim Elach Zayin, Vim kein av hacha, Shami yesh litlos kein, Shabbos shreim, Bebas achas, Ukvarnas yavshu. It could be they both hit you at the same time. One of them dried out. They both dried out, rather, but one of them had water hit it and was re-moistened. So is that a good sushto? So he says, I don't know. It's, what was the context of the Gemara? The Gemara is saying that you're trying to figure out whether she's only metame dayashaita or she's metame mei slaves. So to be machmir and say, oh, she could even be metame slaves, even though it looks moist, because it might have dried out and then been re-moistened, that's a chum. But to be makil by ksamim, to say that this taliya must have happened at the same time, that this dam must have happened at the same time as the other stain that's below the belt, and it's just elamai, it just got re-moistened, that's already a kula. I don't know that we're going to, it seems that even though we're willing to be told the tachton be'elyon, we're not willing to further limit the assumptions. To assume that, I don't know where the dam came from. You know, it came from the outside, I don't know where it came from, but there could have been one event that explains all of this. Yes. But to then further qualify that, and maybe that event was a tarnagolas, and that's why it's red over there and black over there. Or maybe after that event something else happened where water hit one of them and therefore re-moistened it. Anything that we have to say beyond just that there was one event, we're not willing to go that far. Because as it is, we're being tola in something that's not certain. It's something that we don't know, that we don't have any real idea of. And that brings us to the last topic. Tzliya during the first 3 days of Shiva Nakim. The Gemara never talks about Tliyos during the first 3 days of Shiva Nakim being any different than anything else. This is a Ramah, primarily Ramah in Kuf Tzadi Vav Sif Yud. That's where he really describes it at length. Here in Kuf Tzadi Sif Mem Aleph, he just relate. You know, he refers you to what he says in Kuf Tzadi Vav. Right over here in Sif Mem Aleph, he writes, Ayin lekaman sim kuf tzadivav de b'shlosh yom harishonim shel Shiva Nakim ein makilim b'ksavim litlos b'davar achet. That in the first 3 days of Shiva Nakim we're not going to be told the b'davar achet. But in kuf tzadivav he tells you the whole story. Kuf tzadivav sif yod. Yeshom de b'shlosh yom harishonim shel yimei sfira imatza kesem ein tolin osalahakel kemosha tolin sharksan. You're not going to be told in the first 3 days. Why? The first 3 days have to be perfectly clean. But then after days 4 through 7, you're like any other kesem. There are some rabbanim, as we've, I think, discussed when we're talking about maros dam, that are going to be more machmir on certain colors of maros during the first 3 days than they will after that. V'dafka kesem shu yosem mikibris va'od. Then he says, but by the way, the other kulas of ksamim apply even during the first 3 days. So some pachas migris vod applies even during the first 3 days. Then he says a chiddush that if you have a makah that's yadur shemotzi dam, you could be told that in the first 3 days also. Why? Because Rama explains. He explains in Darkei Moshe. Because a makah that's yadur shemotzi dam, you're even told a re'iyah in. Even if she did a bedika and there's a makah that's yadur shemotzi dam, you're told a. So kal v'chomer, you could be told a kesem. The first 3 days is not going to be more chomer than a re'iyah. Why is the Ramah more makel when it's pachas migris? Even in the first 3 days, when it's pachas migris, isn't pachas migris a tliya? So the answer, probably not. However, if you look in Pischei Tshuva in Kuf Tzadi Vav Sif Kadmi Yud Gimel, he writes, no, the reason he's makel is not because it's not a tliya. He says, "Satam b'zehol v'shchiach tuva v'yefsheli zaher." So he says it would be an unreasonable chumrah. It's just too hard to avoid pachas migris v'od. And he says, and therefore, if she could have slept in a place that didn't have bed bugs, and she chose the place that did have bed bugs, the Shabbaton hotel, and she could have stayed at a normal hotel, so then you're not going to be able to be told anymore. Why not? Because the way the Pesach Yitzchuk is understanding it is that it is a Tuliyah. Pachs Mikris is a Tuliyah. It's just that we have to rely on that Tuliyah because we have no choice. It's just impossible to avoid. Elamai, when it's avoidable, you got to avoid it. It's very difficult because we rely on Pachs Mikris all the time, and it's no longer a Tuliyah, obviously. We've gone through that. In Darkei Moshe, he explains a little bit more what the 3 days is about. And he points out, he quotes a Mordechai. In Darkei Moshe, in Kufzadi Vav, he quotes a Mordechai. Im sofer shivin akiy mistavra mishloshi yam ve'ilach haksam torim im yesh b'mad litlos b'maka o b'chabura o b'tzipor ve'inus osaris avul tzrichel leita b'vadei shepasak dam hamakor legamri. The point is you need to know that the dam hamakor is done, it's over, it's not bleeding anymore. And that's what you need the first 3 days for. That's what makes it muchsak, that the dam hamakor is over. And he therefore goes on to say that if it's a makah, it's Yadua Shemotzi Dam, what he quotes in the Rama over here. That if it's Yadua Shemotzi Dam, then you can be told, because you can even be told the Re'iyah Mamish. Shach in Sivkot Yud Gimel happens to disagree. He holds you can't be told even the makah Yadua Shemotzi Dam during the first 3 days. So it comes along the Torah of Shalom Kufzad Yivav Yud Gimel, and he says, Lefizeh, Nir Bi Ishash and Saska Biksam Moshiyash Chaburus Uktsoy. If you have a woman who's worried, she has some sort of injury and she's worried that she's going to have staining, okay, here's a little bit of background, right? What's he saying? What's the svara? You need to know that the makor is done, bleeding. It's finished bleeding. And what establishes that the makor is finished bleeding? 3 days after it stops. 3 days after, how do you know it stopped? Hefsek Tara makes it that it stopped. So if you have 3 days after a Hefsek Tara, then you know that the makor is closed. And after that, you could rely on Tlios. Let's say you have a woman who has a period for 2 days. She just has a flow of dam for 2 days. She's not going to be allowed to start counting Shivanakiyim until 5 days, because that's the rule. We'll get to that later. Right, we didn't discuss that yet, but she's not going to be allowed to count. She's not allowed to start counting Shivanakiyim 5 days. So normally we just tell her, you know, if she started her period on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday afternoon she'll do a Hafsik Tara, and her Shivanakiyim will be Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But if she's only bleeding on Sunday and Monday, maybe she could do a Hafsik Tara Monday afternoon. Not start her Shivanakiyim. She still can't start her Shivanakiyim. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there won't be any bleeding. It's 3 days after Hafsek Tara. That will establish a chazaka that it's Mayana Sasum. And Mela, as soon as she goes into the Shivanakiyim, she can already rely on Tlios. Wow. Meaning, we think that we always quote this din, that there's no relying on Tlios in the first 3 days of Shivanakiyim. That's not really accurate. It's not about the first 3 days of Shivanakiyim. It's about the first 3 days after Hafsek Tara. Normally, that's the same thing. But says to Hashem, she wants to have Hafsek Tara earlier, because unto hate. And then he says, I know Tzemach Tzedek has a tshuva. First he says, Ubiki Agavna Pasak at Tzemach Tzedek Bidivrei Hashoel, which is a funny way to say it. It means that someone tried to convince the Tzemach Tzedek of this, and Tzemach Tzedek wasn't having it. So in Gilead Marsha, he quotes that, yeah, but he says, that Tzemach Tzedek is concerned that she won't do a good bedika. That's why he wasn't having it. He doesn't think that a woman's really going to do a bedika b'charam v'stakim when she's not starting her Shivanakiyim. Meaning a woman's not really going to, you know, in order to establish that it's Mayana Sasum, she needs a real solid Hefsek Tara. She's not going to have a real solid Hefsek Tara if she doesn't think she's about to start her Shivanakiyim. So says the Gilead Marsha, I don't think Tzemach Tzedek is right about that. Says, you know how I know he's not right about that? Because we're going to discuss. We haven't gotten to Hafsek Tara yet, but we're going to discuss. a woman has to have 6 hours. She's supposed to do it samach l'shkia sechama, within a half hour of shkia. So when, what time is shkia today? 4:30 maybe. So imagine a woman in the winter time. She has a job. She works in a big accounting firm or something. And between 4 and 4:30, she's got to make sure in the middle of a meeting. I'm sorry, everyone. I have to go do a half siktara. She wouldn't say that, but I'm saying, like, she can't always get out at that moment. So what do we recommend in Shulchan Aruch? Do half siktara that morning, and then do it again later if you remember. But you'll always be able to rely on the one you did that morning. So she doesn't think the one she's doing in the morning is going to be her real half siktara. She thinks the one later is going to be the real half siktara. Says Rosh Lameger and Gili Marsha, and yet we still rely on it. We still assume it was a B'dika Yafa B'charen of the Stakin, even though that wasn't her attitude when she was doing it. So even if it's not leading directly into Shivanakim, and she thinks there's going to be another B'dika, it's still, we're still going to be willing to rely on it. So therefore, he says, I agree with the Torah of Shlomim against the Tzemach Tzedek. You can do such a shtick. All right, there are certain cases where we rely on Tzlios even during the first 3 days. If the original tumah was not because of mayano pasuach, it was a kesem that she found, so she was never becheskes mayano pasuach. It was dam besulin, it was dam chimud, anything that would not, because the whole idea of the first 3 days is to establish. It's all based on the reasons to establish that it's mayano sasum, but she was never mayano pasuach in the first place because she only became tamei in the first place because of a kesem, or she only became tamei in the first place because of dam chimud, because of dam besulim. So she was never becheskas mayan pesuch chachmas adam, even as a chiddush that if her tumah was only because of a tipas dam kichardal, that's not mayan pesuch. That's a chiddush, right? You know, chachmas adam is the one that thinks that's gores quantity as an indicator. Right? We would assume generally not that way. Okay, so that's it for Kuf Tzadi. Tomorrow I want to get started on Kuf Tzadi Aleph, and we'll go from there.